Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to episode 2 of the One Bullet Gaming Podcast. It's your boy Rags, and we have Bonzer with a new sign behind him.
As long as the Z hangs on, I think we're good.
Yeah, you put out an interesting photo that we'll include in the video. It looked like the Z fell off. What happened there?
Yeah, the Z had just kind of fell off, and all that was left was B-O-N space E-R.
Now, would you say that people like that more? Like, did it get the people going? What was
going on? It did. A lot of people in my chat are saying, hey, why don't we – you should do channel points for, like, take the Z off.
Oh, that's actually a good one.
We'll see. Maybe we'll do that.
I like that. Before we get started into the show, obviously, guys, the main topic we're going to be focusing on today is the Cold War integration. Warzone's about to have a massive, massive update. We'll get into that later in the show. But one of the biggest things I want to talk about, Bonds, we need like some sort of intro. You play any instruments?
I learned guitar when I was like maybe 13. I took a few guitar lessons. But the first three lessons were like learning chord, like learning the guitar. And I was like, bro, I want to play Stairway to Heaven. Like, like, can you teach me Stairway to Heaven? And he's like, hey, like, I don't think this is the right route. You know what I mean? Like, people don't usually do this. So I just stopped going.
Oh, nice. Wait, so I'm shocked. So even when you were younger, you were just impatient?
Yeah. I've quit a lot of things in my life. Karate, guitar.
What belt did you reach in karate?
Oh, like the second one. I was young. I did like yellow and I was like, all right. I don't see this being realistic in a street fight. I'm going to be able to like karate chop a kid to death. Like, come on.
Dude, I don't know. My whole thing is if you see someone at a bar, it's usually the kid who looks like he could least kick the shit out of you that he will literally kick the shit out of you.
The stance is important too. Like if you see some kid coming out with that karate stance, probably don't want to mess with that guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But we need some intro music or some intro in general. I don't play any instruments. I used to play like the snare drum back in fourth grade. My brother plays the piano. Maybe we can have him record like a Billy Joel cover or something.
We'll have Vamp on it.
And also Vamp's a chef, like a world-renowned chef. Is that fake or is that real?
I don't know. This guy has multiple weird talents.
I gotta look into that more because those tweets were like surprising me. So you had a big week last week. A lot has happened from since when we first recorded last week's episode to now. And first of all, guys, we want to give a huge shout out for all the support. It was insane. When we announced the video on Twitter that we were opening up the podcast, Twitter just absolutely exploded. I know, I'm sure I speak for both Bonds and I here. Like, we got so many personal messages, whether it was texts, DMs, actual tweets out there. The support we received was just next level. I could not imagine the launch of this podcast going over better than it simply did.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was a period of time, maybe for like an hour or two, where I would refresh Twitter, notifications, DMs, text messages from friends who like don't even really game, like very, you know, nonchalant gamers and casual gamers. And they were like, podcast is good. Like, when's the second one come out? Or also some haters saying, you know, it's a one and done pod. You won't make a second one. So what's up?
How you doing? We're not just an announcement.
Yep.
And also, you're giving the first five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts a free Porsche. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it's something my legal team is still reviewing here. Okay. We're just trying to make sure the funds come out okay. I just don't think the funds are going to be there for that.
You never know.
Let's just leave it out there.
Okay. I mean, Bitcoin could surge. You never know, Bonds.
Yeah,
I know. You got all your holdings in Bitcoins.
That's true.
So Mr. Twitch Rivals. Bonzer Gorgon, are you best friends with Tim the Tapman now?
Yeah, I'd say we're pretty close to best friends.
Bonzer, that I didn't know, he's in my chat right now. He goes, "Hey Tim, I'm blue and cursed." Hey man, I'm sorry I didn't know who you were, but I was pulling for you guys. If it makes you feel any better, which my chat thinks I'm jinxed, so I don't know if you want that. But I like blue a lot. I like Kurt. I just don't know you, Bonz. I'm sorry, but hello. It's nice to meet you. On Verdansk.
That whole day was insane. So I think the tournament started at 5. So it was 5 to 8 Eastern. And from the start of my stream to the end of it, I had the most viewers, like triple that I've ever had.
Yeah.
Like subscribers, support. It was a crazy day. Just the tournament itself, the like support. I actually didn't get into one of the 5 games in Twitch Rivals because I was shooting the shit with my chat. I didn't even notice that Kurt and Blue had gotten to a game. And they never said, like, hey, Bonzer, like, you're not in lobby. And then all of a sudden, Kurt goes, all right, where are we landing? And I look over, and I'm still at the main screen. I'm like, we're in a game. So the chat was popping off. The result, it didn't go how we, you know, anticipated. We came in, I think, 34th, top 24 qualify. So we were close. We were right there the last game. We had, we needed like 3 points to be in top 24. So we were right there. We just played way too conservative for my liking.
Yeah. And what, so custom lobbies, are you about it or no?
I don't know. I think they need to, you know, integrate some sort of scoring system where Fortnite had, like,
right,
you know, 2 points per a kill, less placement point incentive, because the way it panned out, nobody was really trying to kill anybody. It was all, let's get in the middle of the zone. Let's hold down a house with fire shotguns. So I think there's got to be some sort of, you know, ban system where there's no fire shotties, more kill incentive.
Right.
So I think I wasn't a huge fan of how it played out. I don't know.
And it was MFAM scoring, correct? So it's like a win is 25 yeah. points, second place is 20 points, third place is 15, fourth place yeah. is 10, so on and so forth. So, I mean, getting 25 kills in those lobbies is kind of outrageous.
I don't think anyone did that.
When you're talking about the top slayers.
That's the thing, too. If you didn't get zone, you were getting held out every single time by three people with kilos,
right.
You know, VOK kilos, who weren't missing shots.
Yeah.
So it was unlike anything else where I've got melted by, you know, the whole lobby. Like, if you come in late into the zone, everybody looks backwards. Who's coming out of the gas? Who's slow playing?
Right.
So it's almost a race to, once that circle comes in, go to the next zone, like, right away. It was really hard. Like you said, the best, you know, 49 teams in the US. So
yeah, I honestly couldn't even imagine that. And weirdly, I remember texting you this, or I wrote into your chat, I think the meta might be smoke grenades and hold a barricade just simply for rotations, but that doesn't even do enough, it feels like sometimes. Yeah.
The smoke is okay. The barricade, it's okay as well, but you have to stay at that barricade.
Yeah.
So like, they know you're there. You know, there's no really, maybe if there's some sort of additional mobility. We saw a lot of kids, a lot of guys going for trucks, choppers. Yeah. That was kind of the way to rotate, was in a right. truck. Not in the back of a truck. We had one game where we got in the back of a truck and Frozone killed us out of the back of the truck in like half a clip. So right through the middle of promenade. It was just so stupid.
Yeah.
Just looking back, there were so many little things where we played almost like we didn't belong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was, we're happy to be here. Let's see if we can sneak some placement points. And it went okay. Like I said, we were 27th going into the last game. We needed three more placements. But there was a lot of people on that line where we would have had a pop off looking back at it.
Right. I mean, from what I saw, it was still an electric experience. It seems outrageous. Yeah. And I felt your pain so hard, because I was actually watching you live when you didn't get into the game.
Yeah.
And it was just...
It was terrible. I immediately went upstairs and I was like sulking to my wife. I was explaining to her like what went on. She's like, you also didn't empty the dishwasher.
Humble like, you real quick.
I was like, come on. Like, I'm playing for $15,000. Like, fuck.
This is for the Porsche.
Yeah. This is how I make an income. No, it was fun. It was good. Like I said, I wish we played a little more aggressive, and
right.
we played very, very, very slow. We also won a lot of gulags. I think we were probably like 75% on the gulag,
Any big names you beat there in the gulag?
Desmond.
Nice.
So first game, we actually got contested by Desmond. I killed him off spawn. I die. I go to the gulag and I'm like, it's going to be Desmond, because we're the first two dead. Desmond, kill him again. So Bonzer greater than Desmond? Who knows?
And honestly, Frozone confirmed MRAG's greater than Bonzer on Twitter.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was from the heavens above.
Yeah, that was. We didn't even tag Frozone. He just kind of chirped me.
I think he saw a picture where MRAG had 34 kills, Bonzer had 9. No background info was anywhere around. He didn't clearly see the YouTube video, which is okay and expected. And then he just, you know, MRAG's over Bonzer. That's all I'm saying, kid.
See, I'm wondering why he tweets that. He must know the names. I think we're household names or getting there.
I mean, dude, we're literally household names. Like I said, Tim the Tabman shouting you out.
I had three texts and a few DMs that sent me the clip.
Yeah.
I have a younger cousin, female cousin. She's maybe 20 years old. I don't even know. 29. I don't know. I don't go out much. I don't know how old she is. Maybe 19. Anyway, she sends me, she likes Tim the Tap Man. She knew I was in Twitch Rivals. He was doing a watch party and he was watching Kurt Benkert. And he goes, Kurt's playing with FaZe Blue. And then he's like, who is their third? Bonzer? And he's like, who's this Bonzer guy? So that was pretty funny. And then I go into his chat and I typed in, I go, hey, it's me, Bonzer. I'm Kurt and Blue's teammate. Nice to meet you. Or I said, like, I want to formally introduce myself. And he read the comment and he was dying laughing. He's like, hey, Bonzer, like, nice to meet you, man. Like, so it was cool to have the biggest Twitch streamer shout me out.
That's crazy how he actually read your message when he asked. What do you have, like 30,000 people in his chat?
A ton. I don't know, a ton. And the chat was moving so quick, I'm surprised he even saw my name.
Yeah, I literally couldn't believe it too. I actually thought people were messing around when they first said that he noticed you. And then all of a sudden, people just started flooding your chat with the clip. And I almost lost my mind. That was sick.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy.
And we obviously know Tim the Tap Man is like King Mush. So anyone he roots for, he even said it in the clip to you. He's like,
yeah, he did.
I'm pulling for you guys. But everyone that I root for, if you ever see his Dallas Cowboy tweets, everyone I root for loses. So I'm wishing you guys the best of luck. But now that I shouted you guys out.
Yeah, and that's kind of what happened. basically what happened.
And he's what, our first scheduled guest on this podcast? It was an easy booking, right?
Working on the details.
Yeah, easy.
Working on the details.
Easy enough. Speaking also about MRAGs over Bonzer, you need a new controller, Bonz. What happened?
Yeah.
You played a little Fortnite. What happened, kid?
So the controller, it looks like I slam it off the door and break it into a million pieces. But what happened was I kind of slipped off my chair.
Oh.
And the controller had, it's like older grip on the back of it. And it just kind of went into the door. I don't know. But I ordered a new one. Also, if there are any controller sponsors, specifically Xbox Elite, Microsoft.
Yeah.
Maybe a tough get. But yeah, if you guys want to sponsor us, send a couple controllers my way. I always like to have a few backups.
Yeah, I mean,
in case of any accidents.
Yeah, it could never hurt. And even if they make like some indestructible coating, I think that could be beneficial.
Yeah.
You can just throw them off. Did anything happen to your door?
There's like scuff marks from where I don't know. Yeah, it looks a little scuffed. Wife didn't see that clip, thank God.
Not yet, thank God. If you could send out holiday videos, you should send that out to like family and friends.
Yeah, they'd love it.
Yeah.
They would say, hey, you picked a real winner with that Bonzer guy. Plays video games and just whips his controller off the door.
It's not the first name. The family knows you as Bonzer Gorgon. Cool thing also that just came into Fortnite, Master Chief skin. Playable in Fortnite. I know this didn't get you going. It got me going the second I saw it. I couldn't believe it. They had an announcement video with like Ninja in it, which I thought was really cool because obviously he was a former Halo pro, one of the best in the game. So they brought the Ninja skin in with a Ninja voiceover and they introduced Master Chief into Fortnite. I immediately copped it. Actually, shout out him and Kane. He gifted it to me before I even could get to the store. So I want to give a quick shout out there, but for you, it wasn't an instant cop. Like, I thought you would be someone who you saw the Halo and you're like, yo, this is it. Halo 3 was my favorite game.
Nah, I'm Fortnite's dead to me. My time there is come and gone, as you could see in our base star on our 1v1s.
Yeah.
They nerfed aim assist.
Big time.
So I can't hit shots. I can still build. I can still edit. The shots just don't hit. So I'm done.
No, truthfully, they really did nerf aim assist. And the crazy thing is, mouse and keyboard players still complain about the aim assist in Fortnite. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I tuned into Unknown Army yesterday, one of the best controller hybrids, even mouse and keyboard players.
Yep.
And he was still playing controller. So I was kind of confused. If you're doing a trio tournament for money and you're as good as you are at mouse and key and controller, why not go to mouse and key? So maybe there's still something there that controller still may have. I don't know. But Unknown Army was playing controller in that trio tourney. Did you end up doing that trio tourney?
No, I couldn't. So I tried to get two guys, but they ended up playing in the West server.
Oh.
And then you can't play in the East server. You used to be able to play in both, but now they like almost system lock you if you play in one.
Yep.
I did want to play in it because the end games look so electric.
The end games were the best part of those lobbies. In Fortnite, the custom lobbies work better is you could always create, you have defense with building.
Right.
You can always create your own, you can get high ground. You know what I mean? You can always create your own, you can always make it a level playing field. And that's something in Warzone, if you're out of position, you're dead. There's no unless you're in a building, you know what I mean? You're dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something Fortnite is good for.
Well, I'm going to make a hot take right here. And I don't think there will be a better competitive battle royale than Fortnite. And simply because Fortnite will always be the alpha battle royale. I know a lot of people don't want to hear this, Mike, grind a couple gears, but just like you're saying, right? If I'm running in the middle of, let's call it Salty Towers, anywhere in Fortnite, the terrain doesn't quite matter. The terrain matters a little bit, but it's not like getting stuck under dam in Warzone. And if I'm running out into a build, or if I'm running out into the road, I can just make cover out of anywhere and just put myself in a better position. Just like you said in Warzone, if you're getting held out by the circle with the top 49 teams in the US, good luck having them miss a shot. And even shooting long distance in Fortnite is so hard to actually kill someone that it gives you a chance to, again, play end game, play longer. That is, if you get caught out in position one time, you're not just instantly dead like in Warzone. And that's where a lot of RNG, I know we talked about RNG and a lot of our viewers didn't know about it. Bonds and I are gaming nerds, so sometimes our lingo, we just think is like everyday terms when it's not really. So for those of you out there who's not familiar, RNG is a random number generator. And the reason why you say RNG, because it's what you want to talk about when you're talking about anything that's randomized in a battle royale. For example, where the circle pulls, what loot you get. Am I missing anything there? That's typical RNG.
That's typical. Yeah, I think those two are the biggest in battle royales.
Yeah.
One that gets kind of, I don't know if this would consider RNG, but it's who you're going against. For instance, we landed and we're fighting the number one team in Warzone. It was random. Nobody knew where anybody was landing.
Yep.
Turns out we're fighting Desmond, the number one ranked team. So there's just so many random things like that that happen in a battle royale where it's truly, there's a little bit of luck, especially where the zone pulls. If you get zone and at the end of a Fortnite game and everyone has to rotate to you, it's huge. So there is some randomness in it. But with that, the top teams still find a way to win.
Yep.
And with Fortnite, it's not just one game. You know, it's not just one and done.
Right.
So you can have a few games where zone doesn't pull your way, but you can make the best of it. You know what I mean? Two games later, it may pull your way. So that's kind of why they have, you know, you play 3 hours of Fortnite. The number one teams are always going to be up there. So
right. And obviously the circle pulls your way. You always have the advantage. So if you get a win during one of those, you feel good. But sometimes you don't get the same experience if you're just playing like a regular public matchup. If the circle pulls away from you, how do you rotate? How do you position yourself? How do you pick off teammates? Which I think is the way to become the best player, is learning how to play when you're uncomfortable to get into the best scenarios. That's why I really like dropping Superstore. I really like dropping Boneyard. It just puts you in these weird engagements that you have to learn to make like quick, snappy decisions, which at the end of the day, the more comfortable you are being uncomfortable, the better you'll be. It's just weird talking about it in the sense of video games, because most people don't think about actual practice with video games. It's more just like hop on, shoot and beam people. If I get the kill, I get the kill. And then you start bringing in these techniques that most players use, and it kind of like, I'm gonna use a word here, confuzzles people. You gotta put people in a blender. But that's how people view gaming now. You almost have to view it like a sport and break down your gameplay. You know, I'm not someone who watches my own clips, but I know other people break down their own gameplay and actually watch it back. I've done that a few times, not obviously a lot, but I always like thinking, when I die, what could I have done better? Where could I have rotated differently? Should I have used stun grenades instead of heartbeat? Like, what is the actual strategy that could have helped me get the advantage?
I'm not a big VOD replay. VOD is like, you know, your past broadcasts, your videos. Yeah. Pretty sure my wife would leave me if I was spending time watching film. So
you're not watching the tape at night?
Not watching the tape at night.
Wow. Okay. Thought this guy had heart. Speaking of heart, phase 5 has been going on for like 4 months now. Can't even keep track. They whittled it down to 20 contestants. The final 20 contestants had one challenge, was to get a video to go viral. One of these guys, Rowdy Rogan, who's a 6-year-old, who's probably better than both Bonzer and I combined, but somehow, he faked a ban on Warzone and faked a ban on TikTok.
It was crazy. It was trending. Free Rowdy was trending on Twitter for a day or two. People were outraged. you know, he's playing with his dad. He has consent to play this game. He's trying out for FaZe, one of the most glamorous, you know, esports organizations. Contract. What do you think contract would be? 6 figures? I mean, there's a lot of money involved. So
signing bonus just by getting signed from G Fuel, 20 grand. And that's just from G Fuel. So, and you know, FaZe has a signing bonus as well.
Yeah. So it's life changing stuff. So, you know, people were outraged. Why is this kid banned? And I went through so many tweets about it, and it was conflicting sides of he should be banned. He's only 6 years old. Go outside and play with your friends, which, you know, with COVID right now, I don't think you can really do that. Versus he's playing with his dad. Let the parents make that decision. So where do you stand on that, Rags? I know this is a controversial.
Yeah.
Somewhat controversial. But do you think a six-year-old should be able to stream on Twitch with his dad, have TikTok, and play, you know, Call of Duty, which it's I wouldn't say it's a violent video game, but for a six-year-old, I mean, you're running around killing people with guns.
Right.
So there's a, you know what I mean? It's tough for a six-year-old to say, okay, it's just a game. This isn't real.
Right.
Obviously, we can make that distinction, but a six-year-old may have trouble. So where do you kind of stand on that?
So I don't know if you were the same way. When I was growing up, my parents did not let me get a shooter game until I was, no joke, 12 or 13. Like Halo 3 was my first shooter game. I actually had, it was called 007 Nightfire for the PS2, where it's like a James Bond game.
Yeah.
My parents took it away from me after a month once they realized it was a shooter. So I wasn't allowed to play shooter games growing up. I could have been somebody. I could have been better than I am now. But honestly, the one thing that I say that they do right is his parent is always with him on the camera in the background. But it's kind of weird in the sense that he is playing Call of Duty, which is a really, really violent and mature game, right? Fortnite, I think, has a rating of E or T because people get like eliminated. You're not killed, right? Your body gets like evaporated off the map. It's not like you actually die, but in Call of Duty, it's pretty violent. And just like you're saying, he's 6 years old. It's unlike any scenario we've ever seen. And this kid is nasty. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm thinking about the long-term stuff, just like you are a little bit. All I'm saying is he does it the right way on Twitch in the sense that the dad's always on the camera. He has permission, right? They set it up properly. And this kid cooks kids. So it's hard to actually say, you know, where does he stand or what's right and what's wrong. But it is kind of weird that like this six-year-old is putting all this time into gaming and killing and...
Yeah. And to get as good as he is, he's got to put in hours.
Yeah.
I don't want to say my time playing a Warzone because it's disgusting. But I mean, to get where he is, he has had to have put in hours in Call of Duty. You don't just get that, you know what I mean? You just don't have a gift.
Right.
Especially at 6 years old. I mean, the controller is probably huge for his hands and to move and shoot the way he does.
Well, the first time I saw him, I thought it was fake. I literally thought I was watching his dad's gameplay.
Yeah,
like, exactly. I literally thought I was watching his dad's gameplay. Like, I was like, there's no way a six-year-old is doing this. I mean, that's part of the cool thing about video games, right? It's not like sports where, you know, Rowdy Rogan, if he's boxing against you, is 3 foot nothing and you're, you know, 5'4". But everyone's the same height in Verdansk.
5'10".
My bad. I get the numbers confused every now and then.
It's okay.
But it is interesting. And just like I said, he did have to put in hours to get as good as he is, where most kids are playing, you know, T-ball, soccer, you're actually playing with their friends.
Yeah.
But on the other side, you can say like, look, he's spending all this time with his dad. It's so weird.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a stretch for comparisons here, but is it almost like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone, where the parents kind of made him this child actor at a young age, took him out of his element with, you know, being a little kid, homeschooling. And then he turns out to be this lunatic when he's older because he doesn't know anything else.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of a stretch, but I still think there's, and again, I don't know how they parent Rowdy Rogan, you know? So maybe they do a fine job and we just see the Call of Duty part of it, but the kid puts in hours. So I think it's a little much.
I mean, you would think he's locked in for phase five, right?
Yeah. So they're hot. So they're picking five people.
Five people of the top 20 right now.
Okay.
My two locks are Neo, who used to be boys with Nick Merckx, played in tournaments with him. He's one of the most disgusting players like we've ever seen.
Yeah.
In Warzone for sure. And then I would think that Rogan is a lock in as well. But we've seen that even if you think that they're a lock or not, you really have no idea.
Do you remember FaZe High Sky?
Yeah, that name sounds really familiar.
He was a younger phase Fortnite player. And I think he was banned on Twitch for being too young. I think he was like 11 or 12.
Well, so I know in Fortnite, you can't compete if you're under 13.
Yeah.
But and then, but see, that's where the Rowdy Rogan team does it right. Like his dad's always in the back of the camera. But here's the thing too. I don't believe Rogan can ever compete in any tournaments.
Yeah.
Because he's only six.
He doesn't need to. All the content he's putting out on TikTok and YouTube, and if he signs with FaZe, I mean, he wouldn't need to do tournaments. And I don't think he's good enough to do those tournaments anyways, to be clear.
Yeah, I mean,
he's good, but true. I don't think he's bonds are good, you know?
Oh, yeah, like both of you are landing Superstore. Who's getting
him? Oh, I'm beating him. I'm beating him in boxing. I'm beating him in Superstore. I'm totally alpha.
That was one of the most outrageous tweets I've ever seen when you literally said, I kind of want to box that
Rowdy. Yeah.
That Rowdy Rogan kid.
Well, I literally responded,
I think he's 5 years old. Yeah. And what'd you say back?
What does that have to do with me?
No, you said that's his problem.
That's his problem. Mine. Yeah. I mean, it is his problem. Why is him being six my problem?
You can't say you want to box children.
I think it'd be a good fight, and I think people would want to see it.
So you're saying it would be a good fight in the sense that like he would actually almost beat you?
I would take it a little easy. I would kind of feel him out, maybe a couple jabs. But dude, his name's Rowdy Rogan. He's got a lot of energy. I'm older. I think it'd be good. I think it might go to decision.
Dude, you're literally out of your mind. But I mean, I don't think anyone is shocked by that, to say the least.
What you drinking there, cowboy? Coffee? I know it's a little early for you.
Yeah, a little coffee, Bonzi. We woke up a little bit early today. I'm not going to lie to you.
I called you a few times. Almost left a voicemail.
Oh, please.
We're here, though. The much-anticipated Cold War integration is here. I was let down. Huge letdown on my part. What do you think?
I was happy they didn't touch Verdansk too much, but them changing the gulag for no reason is absurd. Overall, I'd give this update like a 3 out of 10. Like not good. I don't think it did that much good because the Cold War guns aren't even that strong.
I know. Yeah. I just feel like there was so much anticipation behind this update that we were going to get like new POIs in Verdansk. Yep. And what was really added was a new Gulag, a new LTM mode, which is the Alcatraz Rebirth. Like, doesn't that like, I don't know. I just feel like it's a newer mode. It's an LTM. It's not going to be around forever.
Rebirth, though, is a good game mode. But just like you said, like as an LTM, it's not doing the world. I did have fun playing it, but is it game changing? Like, no, like the main focus is always going to be the 150 person Warzone, simply.
Yep. And no change at all to the R9 shotgun, the fire shotgun.
That was
wild. Do you keep that in the game?
That was wild. Well, you saw, so I didn't even realize this, but someone sent me the patch notes. They actually weapon tuned the ISO and the Fennec. They increased the damage range for both. So I thought going into this update, there was no weapon tuning. And then I was like, all right, well, if they're not going to touch any weapons, like, I guess that makes sense, even though it's absurd that they haven't. But they actually increased the damage range for the ISO and the Fennec, which I was shocked at to see. But it's still R9 strange. Meta.
If there's any weapon tuning going on, you would have to think, first topic would be, let's do something with the R9.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most abused gun in Warzone history, maybe. I know the double pistols way back season one were OP, but as far as people complaining, this has to be the gun that people complain about the most.
I mean, I don't even think it's close. And the funny thing is, right, everyone asking for an R9 nerf, so what does Call of Duty do? They give us a new gulag. Like, what's going on? I really don't understand it. And talking about the gulag, it is so one-sided. It's insane. Like, it seems like the side that starts behind the bus has the biggest advantage of all
time. You
have
head glitches.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a shotgun on the bad side.
Right.
And I had to go to this kid, and he had every head glitch, every angle under the sun. There was no way I was killing this guy.
Right.
And he just played his angles. He played the right-hand peek. He just killed me. So it is one. It does seem pretty one-sided. And also the guns being pistol shoddy isn't helping.
Yeah.
My anger issues. So.
Well, yep. There you go. I mean, pistols are good, but double deagles, terrible. Get them out. And then the shotguns is just not a fun time at all. Have you used the Gallo yet, which is like the Spaz 12?
What is it in the gulag?
Yeah, it's like the rapid fire shot. Yes. You can, yeah, it's.
I didn't know it was rapid fire, so I shot once and he unloaded like 12 shots and killed me. I wasn't happy. So
it's insane. Going a little bit deeper into the actual update, one, now we have an invisible man glitch.
Yeah.
Which, have you seen the clips of this?
I have seen the clips. And how long is this in the game before something, you know, before this is fixed?
Right.
All hands on deck. Let's get this fixed right away. Yeah. I mean, this is game breaking. But I wouldn't be surprised if this lasted a week or so.
I mean, I wouldn't be either. But you're seeing, for example, I'm on Twitch right now. Mutex is playing Fortnite. A lot of guys are like hopping off Warzone because of this invisible man glitch, because it's happening a lot. And the craziest thing is that there's no way you get this invisible glitch, meaning I think you just spawn into the game and your guy's just invisible. That's what it seems like to me. That's what I've read about so far. I mean, I haven't experienced it myself.
Yeah, I haven't either. I hope I do. I'm going to get a 30 kill win and post a video and just say, hey, look.
Oh, if you get the invisible guy, like you're the invisible? Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to wreak havoc if I get that invisible guy.
What if you die to one?
Yeah, I might need a new controller.
Twitch.tv/BonzerGorgon to check out that action there. But looking a little bit more into why the Cold War guns, in my opinion, are not usable. So the MAC-10 seems like it's the best gun, and you get it at Battle Pass. I think it's tier 10, right? It's a free weapon. The thing absolutely melts. Nick Merckx already posted a video on it. Nick Merckx has been shredding people with it. Ebates in the College Gaming Championship last night was using it instead of his MP5, and the thing feels like it has unlimited range. It's insane. Really fast fire rate, no recoil. It's absurd. But looking at every other Cold War gun, I tested the M16, which a lot of people were raving on. The M16 is only good up close. At range, it's not good. And a lot of the attachments for Cold War just don't hold a candle to Modern Warfare. Like, there is no equivalent of a monolithic suppressor. The suppressors in Cold War are actually pretty bad. Like, I haven't found one that's nearly comparable to what we're seeing from the Modern Warfare guns. And on top of that, I don't know if you feel the same way, the optics for these Cold War guns are like hot garbage. Like, I can't use any of these optics. It's not like the VLK for sure. Or it's not like my blue dot sight. They are just, or your canted, right? They're just not good.
Yeah. I don't think these guns are, the assault rifles anyways, are viable right now in Warzone. I think the Modern Warfare guns or assault rifles are going to be no match. And part of the reason is some of the SMGs are okay, but you don't really need many optics or anything with the SMGs. You just kind of rip up close.
So right.
When it comes to range, I haven't seen a gun yet, one of the new guns that will kind of rip from range, like a Kilo.
Right.
Like the AMAX, you know?
Yep.
The meta to me is still Kilo, number one,
mm-hmm.
AMAX, number two, or number one if you're good with that gun. And then the MAC-10 or MP5.
Right. And obviously the only thing that I'm thinking of that could change that is obviously weapon tuning. But aside from that, I don't know about you. I have no idea what attachments to put on my guns. Again, these Cold War attachments are like bizarre. You get flinch resistance, horizontal recoil control, vertical recoil control. They're just very strange. So I'm curious to see when someone finally finds the best loadouts, if the meta changed somewhat. But again, I was trying out the Krig. The Krig's not really that good. I'm confused as to where these guns stand. But as of right now, it definitely feels like it's going to stay the same as Kilo, maybe MAC-10, but mainly you're going to be dying at range from a Kilo.
Yeah. Until that gets nerfed or another gun is viable at range like the Kilo is and accurate and damage doesn't drop off. You can't really beat the Kilo right now still.
Yeah.
I mean, months later, we're still talking about the Kilo.
Yeah. I actually thought about one gun that may be able to at least put its hat in the ring for a decent gun. And it seems like a lot of people have been using it, is the Stoner LMG. This is the best gun in Cold War. I've seen a couple of people use it in Warzone and it looks really good. It almost looks like Bruin-esque pre-nerf. So I'm curious. I haven't tried it out myself. I have to rank up these guns. So we'll see how that goes. You want to know something that annoyed me the most? They took out all of our double XP tokens. I had like 80 double XP tokens and double weapon XP to rank up these guns, and they removed every single one and gave me one 15-minute double XP token.
Yeah, I had 1 hour token, one 1 hour token.
Yeah.
And like you said, I hadn't used any of my tokens. This was the time to use it.
Right.
This was the time because I didn't play Cold War. I hated it. I think it was hot garbage. Yeah, literally, I would get vertigo playing Cold War. Even in this game, when you pick up a Cold War gun, I feel like I just know it's Cold War. Like, I don't have to see it. Just like the way the guy holds it, the way it's reloaded. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I think the integration was, it gives us more options with guns, and but all the attachments don't really make sense.
Yeah.
There's no monolithic suppressor. Like you said, that's
right.
By far the number one most used attachment on an AR is the monolithic suppressor. It adds range, noise suppression, damage. So without that, I mean, maybe the stoner, like you said, I've seen a few clips of it, but I still think it's kilo meta.
Yeah.
So Rags, you had a long night, college gaming championship, national championship. Came to a close after, what was it, 7 weeks?
7 weeks, six rounds.
Seven long weeks. How many teams started?
64. So we had 63 in the States and then one up north in Canada.
Okay. And how did those 64 teams put their, you know, name in the hat, right, if you will? How did they come to be?
Yeah, it was interesting where, so Barstool's cool where they have this whole vice versa program where, you know, if you see like Barstool Montana State, Barstool South Carolina, Barstool UMass, for example, right? Barstool has all these affiliated accounts kind of throughout each college and university. So what they did was they sent out a message to all the Viceroy owners, and it was an open invitation. So it was like, if your team wants to sign up, get a team and let us know. And of that, we had 64 schools sign up, you know, for whatever reason, whether the Viceroy just isn't into gaming or whatever, you would think that number might be a little bit higher, but it was set at 64. And then from there, it was really up to the Viceroy to determine the team. So if you had someone who just wanted to get his friends in there, you saw a team that sucked. And the biggest example that comes to my mind is like Penn State. Penn State has like, what, 80,000 students? Like something absurd.
Yeah.
It's like one of the biggest universities in the country.
And they were a bust.
Bonds. They were camping in the Boneyard Buildings, second circle with 50 left. Camping. Huh. Like heartbeats looking at the door in a kill race.
That's an interesting strategy in it for a kill race.
Right.
So you think he just picked two people he knew that played?
Picked his buddies. That was
instead of outreach. Hey, anyone on campus good at Warzone?
Yep. I mean, you can get a dominant squad out of Penn State. So he probably just picked his friends and they got humiliated. They didn't even make it out to the first round.
That's crazy. Also, note watching as a spectator, a jealous spectator, I will. One, because I couldn't compete in it because I am a couple years past college and
a few.
But the biggest thing I was jealous about is some of these kids have the best setups.
Oh,
like
yeah.
PCs, dual PC setups, monitors. Like when I was in college, we had an Xbox and I had a 32-inch, like I had a monitor, which was ahead of my time.
That is wild.
But just some of the setups, like we had an Xbox 360. I don't know. I just seen these kids playing on PC and Warzone. And if that was me, I would have never left my dorm.
You could have been somebody.
Yeah. With TikTok and these kids have so many avenues to pursue gaming and pursue anything.
Right. No, I definitely feel the same way. And when I was in college, I first put up my Xbox 360 on top of my dresser. So I don't know if you had this same problem where after you gamed for a while, your neck hurts so bad because you were looking up at your monitor or TV, or was yours always like eye level at a good spot?
Eye level on my desk where I should have been doing homework.
Well, I ended up sacrificing my desk and putting my TV there. I didn't get a monitor until junior year.
Yeah.
Of college. And I was like, whoa, this is insane. Like when I move, my character actually moves at the same time.
That's crazy. So the finals was, the viewership looked pretty good. I think you guys had like 3,000-4,000 people in there watching. No, when I looked anyways.
Yeah, it was wild. Like in the first one, I think we pretty much started around like 500 talking about like week one. And then for the finals, we had 4,000, which is kind of crazy. And everyone just wanted to see this LaMop. I mean, the kid just somehow was like a roach, just found a way to win every single round. And he was just hilarious. He's just content galore, right? He gets a win. He rips off his shirt. He has a butler named Charles. I mean, everything you could have wanted.
The horses,
like the pre-match videos were something else.
Yep. He found a way to stand out. I mean, he's an interesting character as it is, but having the butler, having like wearing his cowboy hat, his glasses. Yeah. I mean, he does a good job of standing out for sure.
And as we know in content, right, it's so easy to miss, right? Like you try to put out a lot of stuff. It's easy to swing and miss. It felt like this kid, Trevor, the mop, just always hit, but hit really well. Like when he did the Gronk and Brady video after he beat UNC, that was one of the funniest videos I've seen.
I mean, yeah, he was smart.
Yeah, he's comedic gold. And now he has an offer to sign with the Hooligans. So he's got to respond on social media today. It's going to be interesting to see what he does there.
Yeah, I'm wondering what they do with having him come on and stream. You know, would it be under the Game Time account? Would it be, you know, I wonder how that's going to work out.
Yeah, I'm curious to see it myself. It's going to be one of those things that we'll just kind of like wait and see how it plays out. But good for Trevor, man. He's made a name for himself.
Yeah, and the games were close too. I was watching there at the end. And so Ebates' team, which is Grand Canyon, were down. I think they needed to replace like a 38-point game, which is very doable, 38-point game. I mean, what you do need is placement, and that's what they didn't get. The kills were always there with this team, it seemed like. But they got pinched in a bad spot in downtown.
Yeah.
They had to come off the buildings, and you did a great job calling it. Like, they got aggressive, they pushed for kills, but they didn't go to zone. And that ended up costing them the championship.
Yeah, they simply didn't need to. And it's like the battle of downtown, right? The downtown's always the worst place you could ever find yourself, especially when you're on top of a building. I always find in downtown late game, you always want to play underneath or in the buildings of downtown, because the second you go to jump off, it feels like every team in the lobby is just going to hard focus you. And that they kind of slipped out of that for a little bit, but then as they were trying to finally leave downtown is where they absolutely got clapped. And it's hard for a player like Ebates, who can just run through lobbies in the heat of the moment in a finals, to change his play style with what he's comfortable with and say, hey, we have to play like a team. We have to rotate over to farmland in order to at least get a third place. Because I think if they got a third place or fourth place, I mean, really third place, they probably would have won the championship, which is crazy to think. But
yeah, when they were in downtown, looking back now, and I'm in Ebates' position, I go for kills. I'm a big kill guy. I like killing people in video games.
Murderer. Psychopath.
But looking back, the play was get out of downtown. The zone's moving to farmland. You know you have to cross that open area near stadium, downtown, you know, that open gully, whatever, by bridge. Find a car, maybe, and just get the hell out.
Yeah.
And then you win. But like I said, he had saw two teams fighting. He jumped on another building, cleaned up a few, but he got held. So
right. And again, right, it's a lot easier for me to say it as I'm casting it, a lot easier for us to say here as we're recording it. In the moment, there's nothing like being in the finals of a Barstool tournament, like national championship, representing your school and trying to adjust your play style after, what is it, like 30, 40 days played in Verdansk. Ebates is still a beast. He deserved the MVP. He was by far 100%. The most skilled player.
Ebates was also, he participated in Twitch Rivals. He qualified for the round I qualified for. And we actually tied, Ebates' team and I were the same amount of points. Get into the final round, but we tied. Yeah. I don't know who he played with, but clearly they were a good team.
Yeah, and he's actually a mod for Super Evan, which is pretty interesting as well. He's a good player, man. He's got a beam of a gun.
Do you know, so the Chase OG kid, which team was he on? Which college?
Notre Dame. He was Notre Dame's best player.
So he is in Twitch Rivals, like the final round. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, he's a really good. He plays COD like all the time. Like he was playing against like Study in Cold War Wagers. I don't think they won, but he's one of those kids who's just like a wager kid who just plays COD all the time, you know?
Yeah, you can tell. I think his KD's like a 4. And I saw his name in Twitch Trials yesterday. I was like, I think that's the kid from one of the colleges.
Pretty cool to see.
What happened with that team? He didn't have teammates or something?
Fourth. They made it to the fourth, and they lost by Grand Canyon by 1 point.
Wow.
So it was 181 Grand Canyon, 180 Notre Dame. Notre Dame probably had the most skilled team across the board. They just couldn't put together in the finals. In the semis, I should say.
Yeah, wins are important in those.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed the second episode, Cold War Integration. My girlfriend listened to the last episode. She told me to say something cool at the end. So something cool. Hope you guys enjoy this. Please leave a 5-star review. Don't forget to download on Apple Podcast, and we'll see you next Thursday.
Peace.